Well, this evening we shall pick up again out of the book of 1 Kings and still chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Well, before we look at some history together, once again, let us pray and ask the Lord to guide us in the study of His truth. So let us pray together. Our blessed Lord, we are thankful that You have recorded for us the prayer of the psalmist. He said, O Lord, open my eyes that I might see and behold wondrous things. And so, Lord God, that is our prayer also. And we know that we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to indeed open the eyes of our understanding. For we desire to learn, and we desire to obey, we desire to become better servants. And You have said, Lord Jesus, that Your truth brings about sanctification. And so make it have a sanctifying influence upon our lives this night. We ask these mercies through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Quite a few years back, I used to enjoy watching Monday Night Football. In fact, I found it quite relaxing, so much so that I would often make a big bowl of popcorn, sit in the easy chair, and enjoy a real good game. Now, I recall some announcers, Don Meredith, Howard Cosell, Gifford, and Dan Dierdorf. And I thought they were pretty good commentators. They knew the football game, and they also brought in a little bit of humor. And as I recall, toward the end of each game, there might be a minute left, and it appeared who was going to be victorious. Don Meredith would break out in a song. He would sing and say, "Turn off the lights. The party is over. As they say, all good things must come to an end. The party's over. Turn off the lights." And then sometimes the camera would show someone going out of that broadcast booth and they would turn off the lights and it would be dark. And so, you know, that statement in the little song that Meredith would put forth, "All good things must come to an end." And certainly that's got a lot of truth to it with reference to affairs that go on here in this world. Oh, yes, many good things, what we deem to be good things, they come to an end. And sometimes they suddenly come to an end. Unexpectedly, they come to an end. And so tonight we're going to look at a party, and this party suddenly came to an end. And so turn out the lights. Party's over. And so I pick up reading out of this first chapter, but we're going to break in at verse 41 of 1 Kings chapter 1. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, "Why is the city in such a noisy uproar?" While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, and Adonijah said to him, "Come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news." Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "No, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, Kirathites, and the Pelthites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, 'May God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne.' Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king said thus, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar and was told Solomon, saying, "Indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, 'Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.'" Then Solomon said, "If he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall surely die." So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar, and he came and fell down before King Solomon, and Solomon said, "Go to your house." Thus our reading for this evening. Well, as we look back over the words we have just heard, I want us to do so, first of all, thinking about an interruption. An interruption. Now, according to our narrative, there are two celebrations that are going on. One of them is more or less within the city of Jerusalem, and that has reference to Solomon and the people. And so, see, we remember that Adonijah, one of the spoiled brats of King David, you go back to verse 9, and it speaks about the fact in verse 5 even that he decided to set himself up as king. He had planned to take the throne even before his father died, or at least soon after his death. And so in verse 9, Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En Rogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah and the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the mighty man, or Solomon his brother. And so there is this party going on, and it's been going on perhaps a day or two before the other celebration I will mention in the going on in Jerusalem. And so there's a celebration going on in Jerusalem because David heard about the plot of Adonijah. And so immediately on a rush, he sets his son up to be anointed and to be put on the throne. And so there is great celebration going on here in Jerusalem. Now, while the party's going on with Adonijah, he doesn't know a thing about what's going on in Jerusalem until a little later on. And so they are having this time of celebration, and they're all excited. They think that Adonijah, he is going to become king. But then suddenly there is an interruption in the party. Where does that interruption come from? Well, you notice how it begins. Adonijah, maybe they're finishing up one of their meals, and they hear all this noise. And Joab, that old general, he wonders, well, why all this noise in the city? Could it possibly be that the city is under attack? And so having said that, what happens? Well, Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest, shows up. And, of course, Adonijah says, "Oh, come in. You're a prominent man. You're a great man. And undoubtedly, you got good news. And wicked men always think any news is going to be good because it's going to be about them." And so you have Adonijah say, "No, it's not good news." For you see, King David has made Solomon king. And so here it is. There is this interruption that is taking place and this once exciting party. So there are interruptions. They come to us, don't they? All of us know about interruptions. And of course, sometimes the interruption can be good. The interruption can be bad. We know about them. We've experienced them. But I would suggest to you that there's at least one interruption that took place in your life for which you are truly thankful. What is that interruption? It was an interruption brought about by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit greatly troubled your heart and your conscience about your sin. The Holy Spirit put some fear into you about death and about judgment. And that same Holy Spirit opened your eyes to see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's one interruption for which we are all very thankful. And then as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to confess that quite often the Lord brings interruptions into our lives. Why these interruptions? Because it's one of the ways that He sanctifies us. It's one of the ways that He exposes our sin. Interruptions expose sometimes we have wrong motives. Interruptions expose that, you know, we were getting awfully close to the world. We were getting awfully close to wanting and desiring the things of the world. And so the Lord God uses these interruptions. And so here, though, there's an interruption that takes place. And what happens? Well, it's one that brings a great deal of fear upon the party goers with Adonijah. And so you notice that Jonathan, he goes over what has taken place. And he says, the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Kehathites and the Pelethites, and they've made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city's in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. And then this statement, also Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. Oh, in other words, to put it short, Adonijah, you're in a great deal of trouble. A great deal of trouble. You see, the word has got out, and no doubt Solomon has heard, that you plan to set yourself up as king. And so you're involved, you see, in treason. Yes, you thought you could get by with things with David, your father. He's old and he's weak. But Solomon is young and strong and wise. And he's not going to tolerate any kind of insurrection in his kingdom. And as we'll see later on, his throne, the foundation, is that of justice. So the party's over. And so you notice verse 49. So all the guests who with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. People got out of there as quick as they could. They scattered. They didn't want anybody to know they'd been at that party, you see. They didn't want any of Solomon's men coming, checking things out, and finding them there. No, 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 they didn't go to a party. But then you notice Adonijah is afraid of Solomon. So he rose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And so this matter of running to the horns of the altar, we have examples of others doing that. Well, why would someone run and take hold of the horns of the altar? Well, that altar, as you know, was a place of sacrifice. And so it was a place of mercy. It was a place of forgiveness. And so men would run and take hold of that. And what are they desiring? Mercy. Desiring forgiveness. And so in our own generation, we have these sanctuary cities. And supposedly those who are illegal can run there and ICE can't touch them. They're spared. And then you have so-called sanctuary churches and you can run and hide there and police can't get you there. Well, here you see the horns of the altar. But there's a limit. There's a limit. And so you notice when you look at Exodus 21, it speaks about this matter, of course, comes up a little later on, the cities of refuge. But here, But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. You see, there were certain crimes. You can take hold of the altar all you want, but it's not going to spare the sword of justice. And I think later on, if we come to it, you'll have Joab. He went and he took hold of the horns of the altar and they begged him to come out. He said, no, I'll die here. And Solomon says, let him die there. So he was put to death right there at the horn of the altar, you see. God's justice. You can't stop God's justice. And so then we kind of have an intercession made here. You notice when you look again at the verse 51, and it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. So there is this message, there is this plea. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of his head shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. And so what you have here, you have a conditional immunity. If he shows himself to be an honest man, he'll not die. But you're very familiar with your Bibles, and you know that later on he just can't give it up. He wants and he tries somehow or another to worm his way into the throne. And so indeed he is put to death. And so here is Solomon. He's on the throne, and he's a man of justice. And so we have looked and we have seen that this party of Adonijah was... it was suddenly interrupted. And again, we go back and we consider that, oh, so often, interruptions in life come, they come quite suddenly. And you remember the Lord warned us about that in Luke 17. He speaks about the fact that as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving themselves in marriage, and suddenly, the judgment falls. And there are other examples of suddenly, judgment falls. We can be going along in life. We can actually be enjoying life, going through the normal routines of life, and suddenly, life gets interrupted. And I think everyone here, leastwise you have heard of 9/11. Oh, that day in New York. They say it was a beautiful morning. People going about the normal affairs of life, and two jetliners take off full of fuel, and suddenly the Twin Towers are hit. 3,000 people lose their lives. An interruption. And the fruit of that interruption is with us to this very day. Just go out the airport and try to get on an airplane. You've got to go through security. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Terrace. And so suddenly things come upon us. And so here, Adonijah, it suddenly came. And his fear, and he lays hold of the horns of the altar. And then you notice what else takes place. Solomon sent to bring him down from the altar, and he came and fell down before King Solomon. Who's falling down before King Solomon? Adonijah. And Adonijah was the one who had schemed and he had planned that people would be falling down before him. But my, how things have been turned around. Now he falls down before the one that undoubtedly, if he had got to the throne, he would have put him to death. He bows to the king. The king sends him home. And so here is Solomon upon the throne. And he starts off very, very well with his kingship. And of course, as believers in Christ, we have a great king, don't we? And we bow before him, don't we? And we call him Lord, don't we? We're familiar with those words that are set forth in the book of Philippians. It brings it forth this way. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We say Jesus is Lord. And so once again, here's Adonijah. He had taken hold of the horns of the altar. And now he goes and he bows down before Solomon, acknowledging him to be king, acknowledging he submits himself to the king. You and I do the same thing. Well, we don't come from the horns of the altar. We bow down and say, Jesus is king, because we took hold of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through his death, we now say, Jesus, Lord. And through that cross, we now seek to live our lives for the great King who is upon the throne. And we pray and we desire that all men everywhere would bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. And so for some people, what do we need to pray? Oh Lord God, interrupt their lives. Interrupt them. Turn their lives upside down. Terrorize them with reference to their guilt and their horrible sins. And not just stand before them and say, you want some peace? Just come and get it. I hear that all the time on the television. Men need to repent of their sins. They need to cry unto Christ for mercy. Bow the knee to him. Amen.